Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
The Bible calls him the image, our true mirror. When we see Jesus, we get to see ourselves, because a mirror reflects your personality. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So the Bible says, while Jesus was revealing himself, their hearts were burning because they were seeing their true identity. They were seeing their true identity. For instance, you have been sinning, and when you get to see your true self in the Word of God, Jesus, who is your mirror, in the Word of God, you can't take it anymore. You can't take sin anymore, because you have seen the true identity about yourself. That according to the Bible, you ought not to sin. That everything you see in Jesus is your true identity. While he was revealing himself, the Bible said their hearts were burning with fire. Like fire. Their hearts were burning. They were like, we've been in a lie all these years. This man who has seen is our true identity. Hallelujah to Jesus. It doesn't matter what culture teaches. It doesn't matter wherever you grew up, whatever you learn from your environment. Your true identity is who? Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. So the Bible says, as we behold Jesus, the glory of God, like a mirror, we are transformed from the glory of the old into the glory of the new. Tell somebody, I'm in the glory of the new. So what causes one's heart to burn? It's not some explanation of some mysteries that don't exist. It is a revelation of Jesus. If you want people's heart to burn as a cell leader, as a fellowship head leader, as a pastor, what do you ought to teach them? The revelation of Jesus. Because as they get to see Jesus, they are seeing the true identity about themselves. He calls himself the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life for all of humanity, for all of creation. It doesn't matter whatever you have learned anywhere. If it negates Jesus, whatever you have learned is a lie. Somebody say amen. It's the truth. Whatever you have learned before is a lie. It doesn't matter the number of people that are doing that lie. The Bible says one with God is what? Majority. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Are you people in this church? Hallelujah. So I was teaching one time, and a young lady asked me, she said, how can somebody stop listening to worldly songs? We are just having fun sometimes. I said, no, you can have fun in the kingdom. You know, when you complain, they say, no, once in a while, people ought to have fun. No, not that kind of fun. Fun in the kingdom is winning souls. Glory to God forevermore. We can win souls. We have beautiful music in the kingdom. The importance of a music is not based on melody in the kingdom. It can be melodious, but if it's not revealing Jesus, it will not cause anybody's heart to burn. You see, why we're having music that are not transforming people today is because we focus more on melody than the revelation. What gets people's heart to burn? Now, funny enough, as I'm saying this, most of you are thinking of all these Afro beats alone. Yes, they are part of it. Songs that the singer looks more emphasized than the person that he's singing for. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? He's more like an ambassador, but he looks more emphasized in his dressing. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? In the kind of song he's singing than the person he's representing. So there's a problem there. Secondly, and I would like to just hit this for a while before I enter the second part. You know, I was speaking with leaders yesterday, telling them a story of an experience I had with Apostle Kola Ole Obashe, the one that joined my wedding. He was asking me what I think is wrong with the present day church in my space here within Middle Belt. And I said, sir, if you want a sincere answer, am I permitted to express myself? He said, go ahead, express yourself. I said, I see two extreme that is causing a problem. I said, the first one is some of us who claim to be called grace preachers. Not because anybody is supposed to be a law preacher. But there are some people who categorize themselves as what? Grace preacher. And some call themselves certain kind of preachers and etc. I said, for instance, the problem here is that, you know, for instance, the Bible said, it says, it speaks about the yeast of the Pharisees. Can you remember? It speaks about the yeast of the Pharisees. Now, many years ago, one of the Pharisees went to the soldier and lied. He gave him money and said, lied that Jesus' body was stolen. It looked like a small thing. Do you know today, 90% of Israelites, they believe that Jesus' body was truly stolen? It was a small lie, but today a generation is living on that lie. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? The danger of wrong ideologies. It looks like a mere ideology. It's a lie. Oh. Looks like something we're just doing. People who say, forget the doctrine, go and win souls. How can you forget doctrine and go and win souls? What a stupid statement. What you need to build souls is doctrine. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? In fact, without good doctrine, you cannot truly win any soul. So I said to him, I said, lies have traveled for years. People are looking down on it. You know, they are saying we are all one as a body of Christ. Forget about whatever anybody is saying. If we forget about it, one day there may not be Christianity on this earth. Because only the word of God can last eternal. If we take some assumed knowledge about God and we make it our doctrine, a time will come that we as individuals that are building our lives on this doctrine cannot stand the test of time. That is why you will start seeing the consequence of these lies happening to some people, some churches. For instance, somebody is a music minister. Before you know, he wants to future a worldly singer. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Because they've been living on lies. Somebody is a gospel singer. Before you know, the proof that he's a New Testament and or a so-called grace singer is not in the demonstration of the Spirit. The Bible said the ministry of the righteous excels in glory. But the proof of some of us who claim we understand grace in this 21st century is that men are bowing their ears. Not just one, sometimes two. The proof that they understand grace or understand liberty in Christ is that they are dyeing their hair. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Men, oh, they are plaiting their hair. That's the proof that they understand they are in the New Testament. They are new creations. So they are talking about a lot of things that are supposed to happen in the New Testament with little or no demonstration of the Spirit. Meanwhile, when we read the book of Acts, the people that started, you know, were at the forefront of the New Testament in the book of Acts, we saw diverse demonstration of the Spirit. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They negated the Pharisees, men. I mean, we're talking about the 12 apostles now. We're talking about even people that were serving tables. People like Philip. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? People like Philip, Stephen. You know, the Bible said they were filled with the Holy Ghost and the first responsibility was that they served tables. If you go to Acts 9, somebody like Philip, after Stephen died, somebody like Philip entered the same city, started preaching. It was through Philip that Simon the sorcerer repented. That's more like a cell leader. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? We saw demonstration of the Spirit. Philip negated the Sanhedrin court, the priest. He stood before them, he negated their belief. He said, you people are behaving like your old prophets, your old fathers who negated the prophets in the days of Moses. This is how you are negating Jesus now. Meanwhile, Moses has told you that a prophet will come who is higher than me. Listen to him. He was negating their Judaistic practices, meaning he was a grace preacher. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yet, we saw diverse demonstration of the Spirit in the life of Philip. But we in the 21st century, we claim to be grace preachers. We claim we are free. And the only thing we are seeing as a consequence of understanding grace is dyed hair. Men wearing earrings. Men plaiting. Men drawing tattoos on their body. And we are saying this is what we want to live for the next generation. Listen, it's a big lie from the devil. It doesn't exist. It's foolishness. It's from the pit of hell. It is not of God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say tonight? Are you all listening to me tonight? It's from hell. And if that is the only proof that we are new creations, then I don't want to have that proof in my life. With whatever we are saying today as revelation, is it anything compared to what our fathers of faith, even in this country, have experienced? Is it anything compared? When they talk about men like Babalola, you see people, you know, looking, you know, shouting and, you know, getting stirred up in the spirit. But the Bible says, it says our time is supposed to be 10 times greater. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? Our era is supposed to be 10 times greater. Yet we are seeing little or nothing. Then I said, another problem, for instance, one of the major beliefs in the New Testament, or the 21st century people that claim to be New Testament guys, is that whatever I do in the flesh does not matter. This is where they've left us. That any kind of sin you do does not matter. You will make heaven. One time I was in a conference and I had a question that baffled me. I almost cried. The person said, what if a believer, a born-again believer, dies on top of a woman that is not his wife? Will he go to heaven? I said, God, we are seated here. Somebody is asking this kind of useless question. That's his interest. What if a believer dies while he was smoking? Dies. Why are you thinking like that? You know, I was talking with somebody one time many years ago. The person came to preach to us while I was a student. And I was sitting with one of my pastors. I said, allow the guy to preach. Maybe we need to hear something. This one that he found interest in us. You don't, nobody is, you can't look at somebody and say you are a believer. You know, are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Sometimes you can dress with suit and you're a terrible humanizer. So he came to preach to us. And while he was talking to me and my one of my pastors, he was just emphasizing, do you know if you receive Jesus and you die, you go to heaven? If you receive Jesus and you sin and you die, you go to heaven? Before you even sin the sin, your sins are forgiven. And while you even sin and die in the sin, do you know you go to heaven? All you just need to do is to receive Jesus now. And anything you do will not stop you from going to heaven. I said, hi. While he was talking, I couldn't bear it. I said, stop. I said, why is it that you could not tell me John, 1 John 3:6, that if you know him, you cannot continue your sin? Why couldn't you talk to me about 1 John 3:9, that they that are born of God cannot sin because the seed of God is in them? Why are you just telling me about my weakness and not about the strength I have in Christ? Why not telling me things that like this, that I can do all things through Christ who has strengthened me? Why couldn't you tell me Romans 6:14, that they that are under grace cannot sin? Because they are not under the law, but under the mercy of grace. Sin cannot have dominion over them because they are not under the law, but under grace. Why couldn't you tell me Romans 6:6, that the old man has been nailed to the cross with all of his sin and all of his useless nature? Why couldn't you tell me Romans 6:7, that they that are dead are freed from sin? Why couldn't you talk to me about the scriptures? Why didn't you quote Romans 8:11 that said, if the same spirit that has raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, same spirit can what? Quicken my mortal body. And the next part of scripture said, thereafter we are not debtors. We have become debtors, Debtors not to walk in the flesh again. Debtors to, by the spirit, what? Mortify the desires of the flesh. Based on what God has done in verse 11, verse 12 said, now you are owing God. He has done something for you. You have to pay him back. What he has done is that he has quickened your mortal body. What you should do is that by the Holy Ghost in you, mortify the desires of your flesh. Meaning you are telling your flesh that, see, flesh, if the tendencies of sin are rising, you are emphasizing to the flesh that, listen, before you started rising like this to want to sin, you have been quickened not to sin already. You are telling the flesh, stay where God has put you. You are supposed to live above sin, not what? Under sin. Anytime you see your flesh having the tendencies to want to sin, you know, trying to move you into sin, don't think that you are doing something new by telling the flesh to stop or by praying at that point. Jesus has offered your body already as a what? Living sacrifice. All you are doing is Romans 12 from verse 1 and 2. You are acknowledging that your body is already made to God a what? Living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him. The word offer there is in the root word in Greek is the word acknowledge. Act according to the knowledge that you know. Your body has already been offered. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? So now you are acknowledging in the way you live your life that yes, I understand that my body has what? Been offered. I'm not trying to offer my body. It's hard work. Jesus offered my body already. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to explain to you? And so I can live above sin. I'm not the one trying to stop my body from sinning. It has been offered to God. It has no right to sin. So I'm emphasizing what has already happened to my body.
And while I was on speaking, the good thing is that he followed us to our church. I started attending. I was so excited about that. Hallelujah to Jesus. Then the second extreme is some people who think they understand God very well, and it is only some mere assumptions about God. Jesus said, if the light in you be darkness, he says your darkness is even greater. In this town, especially in the north central and a little bit of the north, for a while, as young as I look, I've been emphasizing that there's a dangerous wave of wrong doctrines engulfing, seeming to want to engulf the church. And it looks like it is not a wrong doctrine because of how the people look. Take for instance, there was a time they told us something about spiritual genealogy. They said some of you have your root from Joseph. Some of you have your root from Isaac. As you sit down, you can discern if somebody has his root from Abraham. We left Christ. We are trying to look for our root from people in the Bible. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to explain? It was rising. It was being stirred all over the church. People were believing it. You know, the good thing is that when it's not true, it cannot last for a long time. Before you know, it went to the ground. Another wind of doctrine. There was a time people started talking about the mysteries of the stars and the mysteries of the moon. And it is all connected to spirituality. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? There was a time people started speaking, leaving Jesus now, and they are saying they are talking with Abraham. So I was talking with Isaac. There was a time like that. And people will be excited for a moment. After a while, it will go away. But here are we seeing what Jesus said. The Bible says while he was revealing himself to them, what happened? Their hearts were burning. Their hearts were burning. Not when he was revealing things that are only fictions. Things that don't exist. The message, the focal point of scriptures is Christ Jesus. When you get to know Christ, you are changed. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You get into your real identity. And this your new identity affects creation. That's what happened with the people, the disciples in the book of Acts. When they got to understand Jesus, something happened to them. And through them, Jesus happened to their generation. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Such that there was a man, Paul, who was Saul, persecuting Christians in Acts 19. But in Acts 19, here is Paul preaching. Went back to where they sent him to go and kill Christians. He was even preaching there. Where people could not enter, he was entering. Why? Something happened to him. He encountered Jesus. He encountered Jesus. Are you here tonight? He got to understand Jesus. He became another man. Remember I told you Jesus is our mirror. No matter what you are doing, all we need to do is to introduce Jesus to you. And the introduction of Jesus to you is the introduction of your real self. See what the Bible says in the Amplified rendition of Colossians 3, verse 3. I want everybody to read together. It says, Colossians 3 and verse 3. Want to read? For you. Are you in church this morning, church? Read out loud. Want to go? And your what? What we're saying seems new, but it's not new. It's the real deal. This life we are talking about sounds new, but it's actually your real life. It's your real life. Your real life is in Christ. In Him we live, breathe, and have our being. As Jesus gets revealed, yourself gets revealed. And when you get revealed, you become a good access for heaven to invade the earth. For kingdom to be possible, what is kingdom? As it is in heaven, so should it be upon the face of the earth. And that's why Jesus told us. He said it's not about making heaven, no. It's about bringing heaven to the earth. He said for sin, all forms of sin, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, cannot inherit the kingdom. But when you don't understand this, if you think grace, now, grace is for a purpose. The purpose of grace is to the end that we are not into the kingdom. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? More like what we need. All right, more like an algorithm. Let's say that. Let me use this part of scripture to explain this. Revelation chapter 1 from verse 5 in the Amplified rendition. Outside, are you with us? Shout glory! Yes, I did not hear Ken's voice. Shout glory! Hallelujah! Ken always come late. He's always outside. Somebody preached to Ken after service. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who always, and who has what? Freed us, or what? From what? By his word? Which is represented by his word? Why did he do this? Verse 6. Touch your neighbor and say, read now. Want to read. And formed us into a kingdom. Stop. Why did he do everything for us on the cross of Calvary? So that we are formed into a kingdom. If you say my sins are forgiven, can you not ask in a book? He say, why are your sins forgiven? To what end? So that you keep on sinning? No. So that you are qualified as a citizen of the kingdom. Your sins are not only forgiven. No. You were washed by the blood of the Lamb. You are new. If anybody is in Christ, is a what? A new creation. That's why John said, if you are born of God, you can't sin because the sperma of God is in you. The seed of God is in you. You just have to start seeing yourself this way, and the consequence will be that you begin to live like God. Stop trying to live like God. See yourself like God. The consequence must be you living like God. Don't force yourself to live for God. If your identity is changed, your actions will change by default. Religion will force you to live for God without giving you the nature of God or introducing you to the nature of God, but not true Christianity. True Christianity changes you from inside out. Are you listening to me? We are not better creations. We are new creations. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You are not made better in Christ. What I'm trying to say is that if you were a smoker before, you are not smoking small now. If you are smoking 5 wraps, you will not start starting to smoke 2 wraps now. No. That's religion. That's not true Christianity. They are scared of saying these things. They don't understand how it works. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? They don't know that this new man is something that nobody has ever seen before. It has not entered into the hearts of men. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. The Bible says, just as the wind blew from the north to the south, no one knows where it's coming from and where it's going to. So is a man born of the Spirit. No natural man can interpret that man, the ways of that man. How could it be that Johnson, who was smoking yesterday, is telling somebody today that I can never smoke in my life? Something has happened. We don't change with time, we change with light. The Bible said in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 2, he said there's a mystery that's been hidden for our glory. There's a mystery for our glory. You get that mystery, you enter into the glory. You see that? You know, truth changes through the knowledge of truth. It's one thing to know that Jesus is truth. It's another thing to understand Jesus, who is the truth. The Bible says, if you know the truth will what? Make you free. So don't just know that Jesus, don't just hear that Jesus is the truth. Know that he is the truth. And how do you know? As we teach the word of God. Little wonder Peter said to us in 2 Peter verse chapter 1. He says, by the knowledge, firstly he said to us in, now give me that verse 2 of 2 Peter. Where he says to us that we have received in the KJV, please. So that we end with very, very fast. KJV. Verse 3. It says, according to his divine power had what? I want everybody to read church. According to his word, has what? All that what? To what? And what? How did he give us? Through the knowledge of him that had what? Called us to what? Glory and what? Virtue. All you need has come to you already. But you touch it only through knowledge. Now as I'm talking, you are made free. Not set free. You were set free 2,000 years ago, but you are entering into the freedom today by knowledge. How you people get on trying to explain? If there was $5 billion in your house and you didn't know where it was, you keep on begging people for food. But the day you know that there's $5 billion in your house, that's the day you begin to partake from the glory of the $5 billion. Are you people get on trying to explain to you? So Jesus says, he says, my people, he said, they are my people. I'm not denying them. But they what? For lack of what? Knowledge. Children of God perishing for lack of knowledge.
begging at the entrance of the palace, not realizing that they are supposed to sit with Jesus on his seat, on the throne. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Comfortable being below instead of above only. The Bible says you shall be above only. The standard for everybody is above only.
I'm telling you, there are people who can't come to church because they just got a job of 119,000.
They don't know their true identity. And they are very comfortable there. In fact, they are womanizing 190,000. Womanizing. They don't know their true identity. They don't know that that's nothing compared to what God has in store for them. He said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not entered the heart of men what God has what. But he says something in verse 10 of the same part of scripture. He said, the Spirit of God searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Then in verse 11, he says, who knows the heart of a man but the spirit of that man? In verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 2, it says, who knows the heart of God but the Spirit of God? He said, now you have received the Spirit who is from God, that you may what? Know the things that God has freely given unto you. Meaning, when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you begin to see what eye has not seen. You begin to see what ear. It enters into your heart. What nobody has ever had an idea about. As I'm talking now, ideas are flowing in your heart.
Because you are the one that loves the Lord. You are a born again believer. So what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered the hearts of men, you have it tonight. In verse 16, he said, who knows the heart of the Lord that he may instruct him? He said, you have the mind of Christ. Say, I have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. All things are mine. Going back to 2 Peter, he said, you have received everything for life. And what? Through the knowledge of him that has called you to glory and virtue. Then the next part of scripture, go back there, 2 Peter. I want us to see something so powerful that everybody should read. The next part of scripture, verse 4. It then says, whereby are given unto us what? Exceedingly great and what? Precious promises. Now, he said, that by these great and precious promises that I'm teaching you this wonderful morning, ye might be what? Partakers of his divine nature. Now I'm introducing to you what Jesus has done for you. The promises littered in scriptures. For instance, the Bible says in Romans 6 and 6, read that in the KJV. It says, very fast, media. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The body of sin has been destroyed, brothers and sisters. And God said, now we cannot serve sin. We have all it takes not to serve sin. You see that? Say amen.
Amen.
Next part of scripture, read out loud, everybody. It says, for he that is what? Oh, how many of you died with Christ? How many of you were buried with Christ? How many of you were resurrected with Jesus? See what the Bible says afterwards in Colossians 3 and 1. Everyone read Colossians 3 and 1. It then says, if you were resurrected, oh media. It said, for if then you be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ seated. On what? Not just even things in the realm of the spirit. He didn't say just go into the realm of spirit and be looking for mysteries of angels and blah blah blah. He said seek the things that are above. So we can equate above for the supernatural. He didn't stop there. He said there's somewhere in the supernatural that you should be seeking things, that you should seek for. He said the things that are above, where Christ, you see that, seated on the right hand of God. I mean, don't be in the realm of the spirit and just be looking for things, mysteries of this. He said, go to where Jesus is and sit there. That is your place. Many, when you are studying about the supernatural, you have no business studying about demons. Demons and it's not your business. Listen, I want to say something that is even looking will sound contradictory. He did not say study about, you know, go and be look. All your life should be a study on angels. No, that's not what he said. He says, seek the things that are above. at the Father's right hand where Christ is. If you know Christ, the consequence of knowing Christ is that the angels will follow you. When you are in Christ, you are in a new location, new position. And see how the Bible says it in Hebrews 12. It said, you have come to what? Mount Zion. The city in and. In and. Your place is what is inside. Don't go and start with angels and be watching. No. Go and sit inside and what? Innumerable multitude of angels. You want to know the ability of angels, believe the word of God. As you speak the word, you will see them in motion. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Where the spirit of just men are made perfect. See the one of the beautiful part of it. He said, you have come to what? Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. You are seated now with Christ. Go back to where we were in 2 Peter. See what it says. It says, having understood these promises. It says, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by this ye might what? Be partakers of his divine nature. Having what? Escaped. Now, listen, when you understand these promises, you are not trying to escape. How many of you remember escape velocity? You are not trying to escape. You have escaped. Say, I've escaped. Say, I've escaped. You have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Satan will still keep on knocking on the door for you to fall to sin. But you keep on telling him, I have escaped. See what the Bible said in verse 7 of Romans. He said, he that is dead is freed from sin. You were freed many years ago when you died with Jesus. And today that you understand, you are in the freedom. Somebody say amen. Amen. Satan will keep on suggesting that you sin. He will keep on suggesting. He doesn't give up. It's like a roaring lion. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So your battlefield now is the mind. Your tool for winning is the word of God. The Bible calls the word of God the sword of the spirit, by which you discard every fiery dart coming from Satan. You know, when we talk about the whole armor of God, every armor is a function of the word, if you look at it vividly. How do you understand righteousness? Through the word. How do you understand faith? It comes by hearing the word. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Meaning, as you are hearing God's word, you will put on the shield of right. You have put on the shield of righteousness. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? The breastplate of righteousness, sorry. As you are hearing God's word continuously, one of the things you are fortified with is the shield of faith. As you are hearing God's word continuously, one of the things you are fortified with is the belt of truth. Then the helmet of salvation. Everything is intact. One thing many believers forget is that as you are hearing God's word consistently, one of the things you must have as part of your armor is the sandals of peace. Meaning your readiness to always want to preach the gospel. Meaning if you are not preaching the gospel, you are not complete. You are not wearing the armor complete. And Satan can hit you through your unwillingness of preaching the gospel. You know what happens when you begin to preach the gospel? You are implicating yourself. As you preach to those five sisters, you cannot ask them out again. I don't know that you are getting what I'm trying to say. You tell them Jesus is real. To go and tell them, sister, Jesus is real, but Kai, you can't go. You see, it is one part of the armor. As you are preaching like that, you cannot quarrel in your compound again. You have preached to Mama Veru, and Mama Veru is insulting you now. You can't respond. You see? As long as there are some believers, they are just in their compound. They have quarreled almost everybody. And they will still put on I'm a GCMite. You see that? Why are they still coiling? Because they don't have what? The sandals of peace. Their readiness to always want to go and preach the gospel. You see that? Ask somebody, when last did you preach the gospel? Some people are saying, no, I'm not matured. It's a weapon you need to put on. It's not about being matured. If you start preaching the gospel, you become matured. It's in the preaching you become matured. It's part of your armor. Wear it by preaching. If you receive Jesus today, start preaching the gospel. As you are preaching, you are becoming strong. And most of you don't understand that if you want to see the power of God, is in preaching the gospel. He said, these signs shall follow those that believe in my name. They shall heal the sick, blah, 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 blah. He then says, go into the world and what? Make disciples. Preaching, healing the sick, raising the dead, and etc. If you don't do what he said you should do, the power that shall accompany the assignment, you will not see. You easily want to see the power of God in manifestation, go and preach the gospel. Years ago on campus, one of our dear ladies, she said she always used to be baffled by the prophetic. And one day, while she was preaching, a man told her, "My friend, will you fit..." Just, you know, these political science students that are very old in school. He just said to her, "Will you finish what you are doing and just leave this place? What is wrong with you?" And she began to cry out of frustration. While she was crying, the prophetic just broke out. She said, "I see you." She began to prophesy to the guy. Everybody was quiet. The guy was quiet. She got it. There was repentance in the room because she broke in the prophetic. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Everybody was convinced. Then she continued preaching. But if she did not go out to preach and was challenged like that, that prophetic would have not found expression. You know, yesterday I was challenging my leaders. I said, we always know how to mock some people that, you know, sometimes some of us who claim we have knowledge, when we sit down in our classes, do you know who challenged me to start preaching in classes many years ago as a remedial student? It was somebody that, I don't want to call the name of the church, but all he was teaching is, where will you spend eternity? That was not something I believed in. But one day, while he was teaching, I just raised my head and I was looking at him. He was too consistent. Every GST class, he would preach to us before lectures. I said, why is this guy disconsidered? What is pushing this guy? And I said, me, I claim I have better knowledge. I can't stand for Jesus like this and talk. The next day, while I prayed that night, the next day before he came, I was preaching. The next day before he came, I was preaching. He had to come and meet me. I said, bros, you have taken over my place. I said, you won't believe what happened. He said, what happened? I said, you challenged me. That's how we became good friends. That's how he started learning and understanding some things. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? But he challenged me. There are many Christians like that. You claim you have plenty knowledge. You have all the concordance in your house. When last did you preach the gospel? Could it be that that's the only reason why you're not a strong Christian yet? Because that's one thing you are missing out in your whole armor of God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Unwillingness. Some of you, before you start in the class, if you imagine that you are starting in the class, you will just die in imagination. There's a young man, Pastor Jonathan. Years ago, he always used to follow me to go and preach. And he would be encouraging me. And even buying me food after, in the evening, he would just come and buy me food. Man of God, I celebrate the grace of God upon your life. Thank you for mentoring me. Thank you for everything. The way you preach and win souls, blah, blah, blah. One day, the Holy Ghost said, tell him to go and preach. I said, today you are the one that will preach. He said, sir, I'm not prepared. I'm not prepared. He almost started crying. He knelt down and begged me not to preach. Sir, please, can I leave it in next month? I will prepare for it. I said, no, today you will preach. Because he feared me, or he reverenced me, he carried his Bible. We went together. He was begging me to enter the class. I said, so now you will preach while I will sit inside to encourage you. Because all these faces are strange. But if you look at me, you will be confident. So I entered and sat down. I said, in the next 2 minutes, come inside and preach. He stood there for over 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes. Then he entered. Good evening, everybody. My name is Jonathan. I want to preach to you people. Please, permit me. And I said, you are permitted. He felt encouraged. He just looked at me. He said, okay. He quoted the way I preach, you know, every example, when he was done, he said, thank you. I said, thank you, we're blessed. Nobody answered. Everybody was just looking, turning to look at me in the class. And he left. I said, how do you feel? He said, sir, I almost died. I said, we're going to another class. This is how this boy began to preach. There are days I'll be passing a class and I'll see him preaching. I'll come and talk. He's preaching. He's winning souls. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? He's becoming strong till one day the pastor recognized the hand of God upon him and anointed him a pastor, because we didn't have a church at that time. He's a pastor today. His sister is a pastor. Why? Because he became strong as he began to preach. Everything was intact. He had all his vision. He would pray to God, faith things, but he couldn't preach. Everybody, I'm leaving you one thing tonight. Go and start preaching the gospel. It will make you a stronger Christian. Paul said, prove your call by doing the work of an evangelist. Prove your call. There are a lot of people, I gave this example one time. I thought that behind customary court before we close, there's one place there that I've forgotten the man's name. I don't know whether he's still alive. If you are trying to go to Bahamas hostel, there's a place they smoke and drink by the right hand side. Some of you know it, right? They are still smoking there and drinking, right? They covered one part of the joint so that people will not be seeing what they are doing inside. You know that part they covered. One day I was fasting. After I charged up praying in tongues, God now told me to enter there and preach. That's the way God does his thing. And I move at the front and say, no, this is just my emotion. There are some things that is not right. You have to be led. The Holy Spirit still say, enter there and preach. As I hear enter, I ran back and carried my Bible. Because I have to look like a preacher. As I entered, I said, please, I want to preach the gospel. Can you give me just 5 minutes of your time? And one of them said, you all preach? I said, yes. Sit down now, sit down. While I was preaching, the same person that asked me to smoke and poured it on my face, he looked at my face like, I was wondering, this is the person that told me to sit down and preach. And he's been wicked like this to me. He thought that I would say, what is this, my brother? Why are you doing like this now? Then he will not tell me, which kind of a pastor are you? Stand up and leave this place, my friend. I just coughed. I kept on preaching. While I was preaching, they were like six. Five of them received Jesus. One started crying. I thought that it was the smoke entering his eye. The guy was crying tall. He started crying. I said, okay, I want to lead everybody to Christ. Everybody say, you know, I closed my eye and I was preaching. In my heart, I said, God, I wonder whether they will believe. I said, everybody just say this words with me. Say, Lord Jesus. And I heard, Lord Jesus. I said, eh? And I turned, they were praying with me. I said, okay. So, we'll see again. I always pass around there. They said, yeah, we always see you. One of them followed me, the one that was crying. He followed me back to my house. As we entered, he knelt down and started crying. He said, Pastor, guess how I started smoking? My father will insult me. When I failed exam, he insulted me. He insulted me and I gave up. I'm the firstborn. I gave up. I said, I hate this man. And since he thinks I'm useless, I'll prove to him I'm useless. That's how I started smoking. He said, this is not my life. And that is why as you entered there, I knew God brought you for me. He received Jesus. One of the things he told me that really struck my heart. He said, the church I used to attend, that's where I started drinking. They used to have a celebration once in a year. And that's the first time he took alcohol. He said, that's how I started drinking. And he wanted to receive Jesus. And he received Jesus, started attending our fellowship on campus. Hallelujah to Jesus. And I ask myself, sometimes we look at these people, we think they are tough. The gospel is tougher than them. The gospel is the tool for the harvest. It's not your wish for them. You know, you can sit down and say, I wish this guy is a Christian. It's not about wishing. When you are done wishing, preach the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing the word. The Bible said, it said the gospel is the power of God unto what? Salvation to what? And you know, one time I was teaching, I said, some people say, they have to believe. They have to believe. Listen, before I end. They have to believe. Their believing is not a function of them. Nobody has the mind to believe or not believe the gospel. Listen to me carefully. Their believing comes from your preaching. That's why the Bible summarizes it like this. It says everything is at the belly, at the mercies of the believer. It said the earnest expectation of creation awaits your manifestation. As you go there to preach, faith cometh by hearing. As they are hearing your preaching, the response to whatever they are hearing from your preaching is will bring about faith. It will create faith on their inside to believe Jesus Christ. So it is your preaching that produces faith on their inside, not their willingness to want to follow Jesus. So if you don't preach, how will faith rise from their heart and cause them to follow Jesus? Are you people seeing it? Everything is at your mercy, believers. There is nobody that will become born again without the preaching of the gospel. That's why Jesus preached. That's why Paul preached. That's why Paul will enter dark places where they are even promising to kill him and go and preach. I was sharing with leaders, my friend who is in Maiduguri today. He's watching the service this morning already. An evangelist. I don't want to call his name because of some of the stories I'm going to share. In a typical village in Maiduguri. While we're talking, my wife saw me. I was just crying in the parlor. I said, Kai, we think we have seen a lot. We have not seen anything. This man left USA. God told him in USA, leave USA and go to Borno and go and do mission work for me. USA. That people come to the church and say, oh, glory to God. I want you people to join me and thank God. Oh, I've gotten admission to Harvard. This man went there. God told him, come to Borno and start winning Muslims. Your assignment is Muslims. He left. He said, Pastor, as I'm talking to you, I've lost 30 plus of my family members. He said, but no problem. I am still preaching. While he was talking, he was coughing. I said, what is that? He said, it's the harsh weather, blah, 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 blah. He said, Pastor, as I'm talking to you, we have won over 500 Muslims. They are in Bible school. He said, what we do is that we can't enter their community like them because we have to protect ourselves too. So when we raise them and disciple them, we send them back to their communities. Then he asked me a question. Do you see these Fulani churches online sometimes? I say yes. He said, they are not lies. They are true. He said, they are receiving Jesus in their mass. He said, but I asked you a question, Pastor. What if I did not come when God told me to come? What if some of my friends who are here with me did not come when God told us to come? Will these people receive Jesus? He said, men like John G. Lake, they had medical certificate and the rest. They kept it and came to Africa to give us the gospel. He said, this is what true Christianity is all about. I said, man of God, I just want you one day to come to GCMI and just be talking your stories. You'll be setting hearts on fire. There are no two ways about it. The gospel has to be preached. The harvest, Jesus told us a long time ago, he said the harvest is plenteous. You know why he was sure about it? Nobody can resist the gospel. If it is truly preached in the way it's supposed to be preached, epignosis, accurate, precise, he said nobody can resist the gospel. He said it, Jesus said it. He said, if I be lifted up on the cross, if I be revealed on the cross, that capacity can draw all men to myself. As I'm talking to you people today, anybody resisting what I'm teaching is because he doesn't want to listen to me. As long as you mistakenly listen, you can't resist the gospel. You can't. I was teaching a Yahoo boy one time. I didn't know he was a Yahoo boy. We were talking where we went to repair car. And he just had this special interest for me. Very young, fine boy. Very, very young. I think around 19 or 20. But he's deep already in the thing. And I thought it was his mommy car or something. But it was his car. So while we're talking, he said, your Bible fell. So I said, oh, thank you. I carried it. He said, bros, please, what is your name? I said, Simon. He said, I don't know. I just want to talk to you. I said, okay. Which church do you attend? Straight to business. He said, no, I don't attend church. I said, you don't attend church? When last did you attend church? He said, 3 years ago. I said, for what? I didn't know when I said, for what? I said, why are you not attending church? He said, you know, these Christianity things, I don't believe in that shit, man. I don't believe in it at all. I say, you don't believe in that shit, man. You call Christianity shit, man. I pick special interest. I say, oh yeah, let's talk. What is it that about? As we began to speak, as I was teaching in the gospel, when it was time for me to come for Saturday meeting with pastors, he said, oh, no, Pastor, you are going already? I say, yes, I have to go. We have meeting. He said, hey, I don't want this discussion to finish. He said, where can I meet you? I said, can you come to church tomorrow? He said, no, I cannot come, blah, blah, blah. I know he was escaping it. I said, okay, come to my house. He came to my house on a Monday morning. I said, okay, sit down. When he sat down, I began to preach. As I was talking, he burst into tears. He said, Pastor, sir, nobody can resist Jesus except they've not heard. I heard it from his own mouth. He said, nobody can resist Jesus. Then he now littered everything to me. He said, sir, I am supposed to die at 32. No lie. I'm supposed to die at 32. I said, why will you want to die? He said, sir, that's what I signed. What is in life? Just enjoy money and die. I said, how about now? He said, sir, I wish I can break those things. I'm wondering whether it's too late. I said, who told you it's too late? He said, it's one priest, waiting. I said, where is the child? He said, at home. I said, bring them to Jesus. Bring them. The Bible said, why Peter and the 12 were preaching? He said, sorcerers came and they submitted their charms and books. And they were asking Peter, what should we do afterwards? When the fire of the Holy Ghost came upon them, one of the things I wrote is that the Holy Ghost is that fire that God initiates in our heart, light in our heart. Then Paul told Timothy, he said, fan that fire to flame. Fan it. As you pray in the Spirit and stay with the Word, it's burning. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, he said, quench not the Spirit. Meaning the Holy Ghost is like very fire in our heart. He said, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. I told him, bring those charms to Jesus. We'll burn it. Nothing will happen. Nothing will happen to you, young man. They are all lies. In Acts 19, when Paul was done dealing with the city of Ephesus, the Bible says it like this at one part of the end. It said, so mightily grew the word of God in the city of Ephesus, the church prevailed. At a point, he now said, there was a certain goddess, Danarius or Dan, whatever was the goddess' name. She was in charge of the city. Paul went to where they are worshipping the goddess. He said, forget about that thing, she's not real. Whatever she has done for you people is fake. The Bible said there was chaos in the city. Everybody was wondering, who has the impetus to call whatever their goddess name was? Nothing. He just looked at it and he was preaching to them, probably at the front of the headquarters of where they used to worship her. He was preaching to them and nothing happened. Hallelujah to Jesus. Nothing happened. So am I telling you people? Are you people listening to me tonight? Oleku is fake. Azor spirit is fake. Are you listening to me? They don't exist. Say amen. They don't exist. Azor spirit is fake. You saw how we delivered one of my aunties here 2 Sundays back. They say she has been struggling with that spirit for years. And you see one stupid thing culture will do? It will not make you think that the spirit is normal. In fact, my mom was telling me that it's a good spirit. I said there is no good demon in anybody. That one only does good things. Like that demon that was prophesying to Paul. You are a great man of God. Paul still casted the demon out. Some of you are seated here. It's one of your uncle that is protecting the family. He doesn't go to church. How? He's in the village. He's protecting the family. I had that said one time and my uncle called me and said, sir, nothing will happen to you. We are here. I said, how? You are here for what? He said, nothing. We are here. We will confront them. I said, nobody is disturbing me. Nobody is disturbing me. And I told my mom, tell him I want to lead him to Christ. I'm the one protecting them. Me too, I have mouth. I said, you are under my protection. How can somebody who doesn't go to church saying he's the one protecting us? They'll go and look at you in calabash. Rat bite you, they'll go and check water. It's from the in-laws. They'll go for meeting. Before I became born again, rat was eating our legs in Kaduna in the barracks. As a young child, I was not born again. I planned that rat. Listen, people of God, I caught the rat like this with my hand. It left my hand. I didn't see it again. I told my mom, I caught the rat because I planned I would kill that rat that night. So I faked my sleep with one. I just held it. I held it. I wanted to eat it. There was nothing in my hand. I said, I held the rat. I was telling my mother, I held the rat with my... She said, I said, yes. My mother traveled to the village. Her people followed her to my father's place. After one meeting, people of God, rat did not come to our house again. One meeting, I'll never forget in my life. They settled the dispute and left rat. Rat left us. But now, not anymore. Are you listening to me? One day I entered our village for the first time for my grandfather's burial. Somebody, one of my father's brother, looked at me and said, strong man, you have come. I told my mom, he said, they called me strong man. He said, don't mind them. She wanted to start calling me. I said, don't quarrel. No, they know I'm a strong man. Is that not a good thing? That I entered a village, they came to me and said, strong man, welcome. I'm a strong man indeed. I've terrified the hell out of them. One day I was praying, a spirit entered like a shadow red, hit my father on his chest. Boom! My father woke up. I was looking through the wall. My father woke up. I didn't know I was able to access the wall. But the spirit passed through the wall, hit my father in his room. With my mom on the bed. Hit my dad. So he stood up. Whoa, whoa, whoa. As he was, whoa, whoa. I already noted it. I opened the door, went to him. I laid hands on my father's head without his permission for the first time. I was sorry after it. But as I laid hands, I said, in the name of Jesus, Pereka Palia Tana. As I spoke, the cough ceased. The Lord kept me to see. Are you beginning? I'm trying to explain to you. For some of you thinking our tongue is foolishness. So what is the meaning of manam, ayam, mumu people? They did not go to school. You went to school. You died at age 23. You that is going to school, how sure are you that you will finish the school? I saw something on Facebook. Some people were scattering a house. And And under somewhere around the house, they now found one thing. They tie his neck, one carved thing like a doll. They tie the neck. So the boys were saying, "Ah, we have lost this person. They've tied. We have lost the person." The boys understood the culture. I was wondering. I said, if they did not demolish this house today, wherever this man is that they've tied, they would have not lost that man. But look at technology. You are there going to school, and now school is good, though. You are learning everything, mechanical engineering, everything, first class. They tie your neck somewhere and put under a building. You know, as we're talking, I'm optimistic. Those things cannot happen to me. Maybe it's already happening to you. It's not about being optimistic, be in faith. And faith cometh by hearing the word. For we don't understand the word, we make a joke out of this rubbish. Paul said, let me speak to them that have knowledge. He said, food meant for idols, are they not to be eaten by us? We don't take them serious. We don't take demons serious. No! Says, the devil is so powerful. He's not powerful. He had power. Hebrews 2:14. He had power. Now he does not have. Jesus said, now all authority has been given to me. Go into the world and make disciples. Satan has no power. He had. You don't need any rank to remove any demon from anybody. You need the name of Jesus. Are you listening to me? The name of the Lord is a word. The righteous come into that name and they are. In the name of Jesus, every knee and every tongue that he is Lord. Not any rank. Not any rank. Are you listening to me? The disciples, before they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they were casting out demons. Before they were filled, they said, we saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. You full of the Holy Spirit, you are waiting for a promotion. In a day when that fire came upon the 12, 3,000 through one preaching. They were preaching on Peter. When they started mocking, Peter stood up somewhere high. As he began to preach, the Bible said people that were laughing, they stopped laughing. In a day, 3,000 people received Jesus because of fire. If I'm done tonight with some of you cell leaders, that 5, 5, 5, the demon will go away. Yes, the answer is fire. Yes, how many years is the cell? 3 years. How many members? 9. How many years is the cell? 3 years. How many members? 5. No fire. No fire. Somebody be on your feet. Sometimes we'll ask believers, when last did you pray? I was telling leaders yesterday, you'll be so shocked some believers have not prayed 3 hours for one month. 3 hours. How do you expect God to help you? Are you listening to me tonight? How do you expect God to help you? How do you tap into his power? How do you see his glory? How many of you want to see the power of God tonight? Can I see your hands up? Lift your hands and shout if you want to see the power of God. In your life, in your family, in your business, something has been happening in your house for a long time. You want to see power there. Your dad has been on a sick bed for too long. You want to see power. That brother has been misbehaving. You want to see power. Then you pray in the spirit. Your mother has hepatitis for more than 3 years. You want to see power. You pray in the spirit. You can change the story. Your dad has been on a sick bed for a long time. You want to see power, you pray. To men we speak nonsense when we pray in the spirit. But the Bible said in the realm of the spirit we are uttering mysteries. Somebody pray. You must not be able to pray in tongues. If you can pray in English. Just make sure you are praying. Inside, outside. Hearts on fire.
Lord, set my heart on fire. Jana mana kataria batoka siapa kataya. Shaba katanama yakaba la kota yaba yakaba. Shepele kataria bana kanaba la katabaya. Somebody, don't be casual about this prayer. Don't be casual. Shana mama 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 mama. Open your mouth, pray in the spirit. Yeah. He has given us all we need for life and godliness. Prayer is one of the tools. Prayer is how we access. Lepanda katia katalia. Lift your voice and pray, somebody. Shanani alabaya kanda.
As you are praying, things are shifting in the realm of the spirit. As you are praying, demons are taking out from your father. That illness in your mother's life, that pain in her legs, for years, those demons are taking out. Lepa, leka, ana, ayata, kania, salia. Prayer is such a powerful weapon. If there are men to pray, there is a God to answer. Don't be too civilized to pray. You'll be ashamed of yourself when the devil has your time. Somebody open your mouth to pray. Open your mouth and pray. Men ought to pray. Men ought to pray. Else they faint. Men ought to pray. Ayalabalaka. Lebalokotona molokotabo yokotoboya. Japokatana bayagatabaya. Shemana diana bala kataria bala kataria ba. Shakata la baya kata bala kata baya. Ella kata bala kata bala kata baya kata. Ala kata bala kata bala kata bala kata ba. Ella kata bala kata bala kata bala kata ba. Ella kata bala kata bala kata ba. Shana mana kaba ba 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 ba. Ella kata bala kata bala kata ba. Ella kata bala kata bala ba.
want to be a Christian on fire,
it is my prayer. A Christian on fire is a quench not the spirit, pray without season.
To be praying is to be on fire. And don't be ignorant, fire can bring favor. Even favor comes by fire. He said, for if you seek first the kingdom, every other good thing. He said, thou anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Set yourself on fire tonight. Catch the fire tonight. The Bible said, quench not the spirit. Pray without season. Holy Ghost, you and I will change the world. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, Shaba ba 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 ba. Jibrande kapatosia pakatale bagadabaya. Holy Ghost, you and I will change the world. Praise somebody. When you're on fire, God will use you anywhere. Whether in the church, whether in your place of work, wherever you are, while you're on fire, God can use you. Some of you, God will raise you as legislators for kingdom. What will happen is that he will put you in big positions of power and you stand for his kingdom. You stand for believers. We are talking about men that God will raise like Ted Cruz in diverse sectors of life. Men like Daniel, valuable in the society, yet they are very anointed. I sense the hand of God on many in this place. I sense the hand of God inside, outside. Pray. Somebody pray. I sense the mighty hand of God. Adonai. Ancient King of Israel, Adonai, Adonai, there is no king just like you, rich in power, great and might, majestic rule, incense rise. Have resound, Adonai, Adonai, Adonai. La kabata la kata ba ya ba 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 ba. Adonai. Adonai. Somebody pray. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Lebregeposia pacatala brandegabashi bragadabaya. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' gracious name we pray. Father, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for how much you have happened to us in this Sunday's service yet. We know that, Lord, as we go home, this freshness of your spirit that we just contacted will be extended. The fire we caught tonight will not stop burning. It will affect our world, our family, our businesses, all that concerns us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your great glory. Can we celebrate Jesus as we are seated?
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.